Andrew Perloff, Paul Papps here from Leishman. When you want expert advice, you go to a pro. Some folks consider me a pro at probably plaid shirts. That's kind of what I'm known for.
Oh,
Vermont stuff?
Absolutely. You know, I was racking my brain to figure out what you're a pro at. You're absolutely pro. If you want to look like somebody who weekends in Vermont, you've nailed it.
Right. I look like a guy who's very outdoorsy. I may not be that outdoorsy. I'm quasi-outdoorsy.
So what's the key? How do you do it?
Well, you got to get some like shoes that look like hiking shoes, but you don't get them dirty because you want to make them look, they got to pop. And then you get those like hiking-ish pants with zippers all over and then a nice plaid flannel. And the girls love it. I mean, you look outdoorsy.
I've always wondered, where do you pull like the golden retriever out of?
I need a golden retriever rental. One of my neighbors up in Vermont has one.
And
I use it for pictures. But when you want pro tips on vehicle maintenance repair, look no further than O'Reilly Auto Parts, whether it comes to testing your battery, replacing your battery, loaner tool program, just the parts for your new car, your old car, especially if you get a used car, go in there, clean out your engine, get all the products you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
With the leisure.
Welcome to the Leisure Man Podcast on NBC Sports. Paulie Papps, Andrew Perloff. Big week. I love the NBA draft. Now, the NBA draft is not the NBA draft of yore. I'm not get off my lawn guy. I'm not it's better when I was a kid. But just because of the state of college basketball, the stars are one and done type people for the most part. Unlike the 80s and early 90s where star players stayed 2, 3, maybe 4 years. Tim Duncan, 4 years. Shaquille O'Neal, 2 years. I'll take two.
It's not just that. It's also free agency is a thing now. Ever since LeBron took his talents to South Beach, nobody cares about it. You don't build a team through the draft. You build a team by acquiring superstars.
There's no doubt. And that's a great point that goes hand in hand because whatever rookie you take, it's unlikely to have a major impact. They might have a major impact, like Luka Doncic for the Dallas Mavericks. Because that team has very little talent, he came in right away, played a lot. They didn't go anywhere.
Right.
He's not. There, no one's taking anybody anywhere.
He's awesome. You're right, but he's not getting the playoffs. And is your point that by the time he's ready to win a championship, he'll be in free agency anyway?
He'll be in the neck of the woods of free agency.
Yeah.
Which brings us to Zion Williamson. And now Zion Williamson is 18 and three quarters years old. He's built like he's about 28 years old. But, you know, he's not ready to play in the NBA yet as far as like dominance. You know, there's when you watch him at Duke, you know, he's got a nice shot. It's almost like a set shot, though.
Yeah, his elbow is straight, which I like.
Yeah.
Dude, I think he's... Well, here's the thing. I'll tell you why Zion could be good immediately.
Is there anything you don't like about his game? Not his
marketing. Outside shot. But here's what's going to happen. He can cover your five, and your five can't cover him.
Right.
That's the only... If he can really cover your five. But think about it. Like, imagine if Marc Gasol had to cover Zion Williamson. Can Zion Williamson cover Marc Gasol? I don't know.
And he could match up with any small forward and out-physical them. No one could post him up.
No small forward. So I guess, but he, you know, you're going to go to a death lineup with Zion at five. He's going to be, in today's NBA, think about today's
NBA.
That's
interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's the one thing that got me excited about him. You're right. He's not going to win a title this year, but they have some talent there, you know.
New Orleans,
by the way, how excited are you for that team?
It's fun. You know, they've always had a kind of a cool logo, cool name. Anthony Davis got them nowhere, but people were poised. Remember when Anthony Davis was getting hot and Steph Curry was getting hot?
Yeah.
And when the Pelicans would play the Warriors, I'm talking 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It was kind of must-see TV. And then Anthony Davis started getting hurt and their team started regressing and the Warriors kind of took off in the other direction.
Yeah. Did the Pelicans win a playoff series a couple years ago? They did. And they were running a high-octane Warriors-style offense. And it was kind of fun. But it just didn't take off. I find Anthony Davis a little boring, by the way. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, his game is, it slows down when the ball gets to him, but he's a very good player.
He's awesome, yeah.
I want to go back to Zion for a second. Yeah. And when I watched him this year, because Duke was on 31 national games, I found him to be a very good passer.
He's good at everything, except his shot, yeah.
I didn't see it, because again, in high school, no, I didn't watch any of his games. I can't lie to you. I watched his YouTube highlights.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're all dunks over little kids. That, you know, we're trying to play high school basketball against him. So I had no knowledge of his basketball game. I knew his highlights. I found him to be a really good passer and very good at moving on the court, finding space, and not... He's kind of like a guy which has... He doesn't have no position, but it's kind of like what you said. He can play a lot of positions. He never found one area of the court and camped out. He wasn't always outside, always inside, which I like.
Yeah. I mean... Here's the thing. In high school, right, he was dunking, and he could take off from the foul line.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we have known that the degree of athleticism at that size to jump from there, to me, should have said, this guy is an unbelievable athlete. He's obviously, you have to be incredibly coordinated. You have to have incredible explosiveness. Sure. I'm playing Monday morning quarterback here, but how did people really think that R.J. Barrett was going to be better than that guy?
In college?
Yeah, like a lot. Coming into that year, it took one half of one game to see that that was not going to happen.
Well, I think the difference is R.J. Barrett is a traditional basketball player who's fantastic. Zion Williamson is, in every sense of the phrase, a freak of nature because he's 285 and is not dumpy. He is not slow. He is not on the ground because he can't get up. He defies all logic when you look at him. You're like, well, he can't jump with that much weight. And,
right. He's an incredible jumper.
He jumps. Yeah. He outjumps everybody.
Yeah.
Like R.J. Barrett's 45 pounds less than him.
Right, but what is it about R.J. Barrett's game that's unique in any way?
It's not unique, but it's great. I mean, it's
is it?
Well, it's traditional. I say it's traditional.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard whispers that he might fall to four even because of Darius Garland.
That would be wild.
Yeah, I mean, you know who he reminds me of? He's an amped up Jalen Rose. Like he.
Wow.
No, Jalen Rose played for 10 years. I think Jalen Rose was a productive NBA player and one of the greatest college players of all time.
R.J. Barrett looks kind of like the grown man at age 18 and a half, 19. I found him to be much more grown up and threatening than Cam Reddish, much more threatening than, you know, a couple years ago. Brandon Ingram got pushed around and had to sit outside and pump jumpers.
Yeah, but those guys, have, you know, Cam Reddish has fallen like a rock.
Yeah.
And I think he's hurt too. And no, who's the other player you said?
Remember Brandon Ingram, star of two a couple years ago? I found Ingram to be all promise and no threat. No,
I don't think anybody. I think the Lakers were just stuck there at number two and had to take him. I don't think, has anyone ever said, wow, I'm really excited about Brandon Ingram as a pro? It has not happened.
He got compared to Kevin Durant as a freshman. They said, you know, he's skinny. But remember another freshman who was tall, skinny, and shot from the outside? Kevin Durant at Texas. I'm telling you that.
You're right. When he was at college.
I'm saying it.
Yeah, but in the NBA, that ship sailed pretty quickly.
Yes.
We knew almost pretty quickly he wasn't Kevin Durant.
Does Brandon Ingram play in a lethargic fashion or just because his eyes are sleepy, I think he plays in a lethargic fashion?
That's a great question. But yeah, immediately when we were talking about Brandon, I'm like, oh, slow Brandon Ingram. He's probably not slow at all.
Right, but like Rudy Gay and like Jeremy Lamb, they kind of have this like, sleepy eye thing going on. And so I think that the lethargic on the court, but they seem to be pretty good ball players. Rudy Gay had a good career.
Did he? Yeah, I guess so.
Not a great career.
By the way, Jeremy, you're throwing some names.
Jeremy Lamb looks like he's
either that UConn, right? Jeremy Lamb.
Oh, yeah. He looks like he's completely asleep when he's on the court. And he technically is not.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal with Brandon Ingram. I honestly, when the Lakers prospects were coming in that trade talk, I was like, they're like, Brandon Ingram, nope. Lonzo Ball, nope. Josh Hart, okay. And even Kuzma. I've heard like some like advanced stats guys are like, well, Kuzma's okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm going to go back for a little bit. Who was the player that your team drafted, your Sixers or my Bulls, where you said, oh, awesome, and it didn't work out?
Well, I
have one, but you can go first.
I'll just tell you real quick. Like there were some seminal moments in my Sixers draft.
Go on.
There was the Sean Bradley, Chris Webber, Penny Hardaway draft.
Ugh.
The Sixers were at number two. You're not going to believe what they did. And they said they were worried that the number one team, I can't remember who, everybody traded around. It was
Orlando, Golden State.
It was Golden State, ended up being one. The Sixers were two and Orlando was three. And for some reason, they were worried Golden State was going to take Sean Bradley. They said, and they had a trade. They traded with Penny. They're like, we're going to screw you up and take Penny. We're going to take Penny instead of Bradley. Anyway, the Sixers had a shot at Weber, Penny, and Bradley. And they were so high on Bradley, they almost traded up to one. And they took Bradley and not Weber or Penny, and I was so upset. So that's the one draft that really got me.
I don't know. I know Sean Bradley was pretty wild that he could shoot from outside and is pretty athletic for 7'6" at BYU.
Yeah, so skinny, right.
But so skinny, it never has worked out.
No.
There's some guy right now, I don't know, he's from a different country, and they show him, and he's about 7'8".
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't touch him. Don't waste your minutes on the court with him.
Well, Sean Bradley made more posters than any player in NBA history.
On the wrong side of the court.
On the wrong side. Who's your pick?
Right off the top of my head, the Bulls drafted Stacey King out of Oklahoma back in the day. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got Stacey King. And I remember because it was a couple years after Michael Jordan got there. And I think they got B.J. Armstrong. The Bulls had three draft picks in the first round. And they got Stacey King, like at 5, out of Oklahoma. And he was one of the players of the year. And then they got B.J. Armstrong, like 18, and then some dude named Jeff Sanders at 22 who never even did anything.
Sounds like one of those anonymous wrestlers who gets beat by the good wrestler.
Right. Jeff Sanders. And so B.J. Armstrong had a nice career. Not a great player, but he had a nice career. I have no problem with B.J. Armstrong's,
oh yeah,
what he did with the Bulls. Stacey King never made it. He never hit it. He had such a nice low post game, quick to the basket. Not a jumper, not a leaper, but he had all the post moves, and it just didn't translate. And he was a deep bench role player for years.
Yeah, when you're 6'11 and play under the rim, there's definitely a problem. But did he win a bunch of rings?
Oh, he won rings. He was present for rings.
I mean, think he contributed a little bit, yeah.
But I think for fifth pick in the draft, he didn't contribute.
No, exactly. You're right. But I feel like he's made a living off of being on that Bulls championship team.
Sure. Oh, he's got a job in Chicago forever. He was a likable player, and he played with the media.
Okay, you know who is exactly the same player and is even more of a bust than Stacey King? Think a big lefty who should have been amazing.
Lamon Murray out of
Oklahoma.
Oh, Wayman Tisdale?
Yes.
Wayman Tisdale could score on anybody, anytime, anywhere in college. I think he was like a three-time All-American, and he's big and strong. And we went to Pacers?
Yeah, and I think he had some okay years,
yes.
But he never developed the way. And I know you like those sort of
star
big lefty guys. Yeah,
star in college. One guy that I don't know if he gets enough credit because his career came up a little short. When David Robinson got drafted, he waited a little bit, and then he took the league by storm.
Yeah.
His career, I think if David Robinson didn't have his back injuries, he would be in a different echelon. I know he had to share some time with Tim Duncan, but there was, if you look at David Robinson, the Admiral, when he played at Navy, of course, if you know, and then he played with the Spurs. From age 23 to 29-ish, he was awesome. I mean, he was averaging like 28 and 13 and 4 blocks.
Yeah, I'm noticing a trend
here. He suffers by comparison.
Tall. Yeah, I don't think David Robinson was that great. He was a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, I get my phone.
But he's
out.
Not. I think he's a step below Akeem.
Oh, drastically,
but not drastically. It's just like one little caliber below.
Akeem, I call him Akeem. Akeem had at least five more very good years than David Robinson did.
But at their peak, who was a better player? See, I feel like David Robinson kind of mucked up your offense. He needed to do, like, Akeem was just a little more fluid.
Oh, yeah. He had more post moves.
Robinson, he was, like, exactly. That's what it is.
Robinson was more of a finisher. He was a really great finisher. Good role guy in a pick and roll. He ran the break really well for a big man. But there was a time when David Robinson was, like, sculpted out of clay, and with the numbers he was putting up were crazy.
Okay, rank these three players. Akeem, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing.
I would flip-flop Ewing and Dave Robinson. Hakeem, to me, is the perfect center.
He's one, then yeah. Ewing two, then Robinson three.
I don't know if there's a center in NBA history I would take over Hakeem Olajuwon.
Not like Kareem or Will. I mean,
not for me, because I didn't see them play, and you know, not Laker Kareem. And Wilt, I didn't see anything of, but he could step out a little bit. He had a nice baseline jumper. He passed great. He played. He gave you no trouble. He was generally healthy for the bulk of his career. Ewing had some injury issues early, really hit his stride for about a 6-year run. But Ewing's a B compared, a 1A compared to Olajuwon. But Olajuwon was, to me, faultless.
How about Shaq? Peak Shaq?
Peak Shaq, I still can't have him in the game late in games with free throws.
Yeah.
And Olajuwon didn't have that problem.
How did Shaq match up with Olajuwon? I think like Shaq struggled a little bit against Olajuwon. A little bit.
Well,
Shaq was pretty awesome, by the way.
Hakeem had every spin move, every up and under,
right.
Every pump fake. To me, he's as perfect of a player and probably grossly underrated by the general public.
Does he win a title if Michael Jordan doesn't play baseball?
Likely no, but you can't say no. I wouldn't say no.
So if Jordan doesn't play baseball and doesn't win those two titles, he's lumped in right there with Ewing and Robinson.
Sure. He gets the full
right
lumping.
Now, I feel like the media loves Olajuwon. Like, Olajuwon
That's
is
good.
The one, but the funny thing is, in today's game, we were talking about this on the Dan Patrick Show. None of these centers are a thing of the past.
But I think a lot of kids out there, but people under 40 years old would say the best big man of their lifetime was Shaquille O'Neal because he was larger than life and the things he did. I saw a whole half-hour show on him the other day on NBA TV, and they did a whole segment about him taking down rims and backboards and stanchions.
Oh, he was like nothing you'd ever seen. There's only like two or three transformational players. I remember with Jordan when he came in the league. Shaq when he came into the league, mm-hmm. and maybe Curry now that he's in the league. And LeBron maybe.
And Curry's was a slow burn. You know,
sure.
His third year in the league, Steph Curry's averaging 15 points a game.
Exactly.
And it had ankle injuries.
I think LeBron's in that too. I remember we would try to get tickets to see LeBron play because he was so different.
Yeah, LeBron at age 19, I looked at his stats and he's like 21-7-7.
Yeah.
As a 19-year-old.
I remember he was the passing guy at first, even more than the scorer.
Well, that's the thing. Like, what's his name? Zion Williamson had 1 year of college, which is valuable. But his stats at age 19 probably will not be as good as LeBron's stats at age 19. If they are, God bless him.
Well, you know, he could rack up rebounds. You know, he could be a different style. Maybe he'll get a ton of rebounds.
Let's go closest to the hole, rookie stats for Zion Williamson, assuming he's healthy.
Yeah. Well, I think the Pelicans, just a caveat, I think they run an old D'Antoni kind of a lot of shots. I think they shoot early in the 24, at least they have in recent years. So I'm going to go 20-9.
20-9.
I'm telling you, like, look at the Pelican stats. Like, guys, average guys are doing 20-9 there. It's sort of like the Suns with, I think they do high octane and he gets 20 points.
I was going to say 15-7-4. 15 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, because I'm trying to pump the brakes a hair. But after hearing your D'Antoni,
I think they still, with Alvin Gentry, I think they still run. I got to double check this because I'm not so up on who's running what system right now. I think that they shoot the ball.
All right, we're taping this. I think we're still taping
this. That could be totally wrong, by the way, that they're not going to run. Maybe they slow it down for Zion. But, like, what did Luka Doncic add? I don't even know.
I think he averaged 27-6.
No.
21 points, 7 rebounds.
Oh, I thought you said 27. Okay, 27-6.
I think it was 20 points, because his rookie numbers, Luka Doncic, is very, very close to LeBron James' rookie numbers.
Okay. So if Luka can do that with a team that's around him, maybe Zion. Yeah, Zion will be able to finish. If they're running fast enough, then he'll do it. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll get better parts, better prices every day. We'll have the parts you need to get the job done right. Stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help at all times. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
If someone said you had to move to a city, and you get to keep the job you have now, a good media job where you make good dough, and as part of moving there, you get season tickets to this franchise. Like, let's just say this a media outlet.
That'd be a great... Yeah, perk.
Some media outlet hires you.
Yeah.
You get a nice paycheck, and as part of the perk, you get season tickets for you and your loved ones to a team. Milwaukee.
That'd be awesome.
New Orleans.
This is NBA or any
current
sport?
NBA.
Ooh.
Milwaukee, New Orleans, other.
I couldn't live in New Orleans.
Why? Because of the heat?
The heat, it's just too much New Orleans. It's like living in Vegas.
Well,
I would weigh 300 pounds in about 2 weeks.
But for those who have been to New Orleans, the French Quarter, you could avoid it easily, and because it's the party area, it's like avoiding the Strip in Vegas.
But you can't avoid all that amazing food everywhere you turn.
I don't know
Paul.
If I want to avoid that amazing food. I miss New Orleans painfully.
You would be 400 pounds if you had to eat that every day. All those rich sauces.
Oh man,
no, New Orleans is a great place to live, but that would be. I just feel like you have too much fun in New Orleans, especially back in the day. Like,
oh God,
when I was in my 20s, New Orleans. I'd be dead.
Yeah, you wouldn't die of the food. You'd die of
Milwaukee other things. Would be lovely. I think Milwaukee would be lovely.
Good weather town. Nice.
You got to see Giannis.
Yep.
I love Toronto. You do not love Toronto.
I'm not a Toronto guy. Too many glass buildings.
See, I guess a lot of people would want like Knicks or Lakers tickets. I don't know.
You and I would be fighting between Pelicans and Bucks.
Yeah, I don't want. I'd like to live in New York, but I don't even care if you give me Knicks tickets right now. I got to see a little more.
Would you, if Kyrie Irving joins the Brooklyn Nets, are you in, or is that not enough? Or that actually hurt your chances?
That's not my style of player / team. I like Kyrie. I think he's really good. But I mean, is anybody really excited about the Kyrie Irving Nets?
No, they seem to be doing fine without him. They seem to be doing okay.
Okay. All right, I want to bring up this NBA happiness topic. In March, Adam Silver, the commissioner, said that my players aren't happy. Now, I got me thinking a couple things. He pointed to social media. They're always under the microscope.
Oh, okay.
They're too famous. They're not... Which kind of athlete is most happy? And here's a question for you. Are you happy? And what is happy in your job mean?
Oh my gosh, Andrew.
I know. I'm getting really sad. I was thinking, like, what does that mean? They're not happy. First of all, it's crazy that James Harden gets $300 million from Adidas, plus whatever for it. How can he possibly not be happy? But I do understand that all that money doesn't make you happy.
Money gives you security, which avoids stress in your life, I think, a big chunk of stress. If you have the luxury of not having financial problems, then your happiness is based on a lot more, not selfish stuff, that's the wrong word, but stuff that's less dire, I guess.
You know, yeah.
So like LeBron James, he doesn't have to worry about where his kids are going to school or college or home life or cars and making the ends meet. So he doesn't have that level of stress in his life and discomfort.
But right, but according to Silver, these guys are really anxious. He said something specifically, they're suffering anxiety, you know, they're isolated.
Well, that comes maybe from, maybe that's all young people who live on social media, and most young people aren't a target on social media.
Right. I think you're right. I think that's part of it. I think it's the fame is off-putting. I mean, you know some famous people. Like, I feel like a lot of famous people have trouble dealing with it.
Yeah, but the people I know, I mean, all right, I know J.J. Watt. I'm not patting myself on the back. I know him pretty well,
right, but
as I could.
He's an exception.
I find him to be a lot more comfortable now when I text back and forth with him, because I think the first 5 years of J.J. Watt, and this is outsider, and I'm not speaking out of school. This is not anything Watt told me, but just the feel I get from him. His first 5 years, he ate, drank, and slept football, and his image and his persona. And I think he worried about it. Like, everything on Instagram and social media was very, very well thought out and careful and positive for the J.J. Watt image. And everything else was eating right, being the best football player in the world. Now I had the feeling he's enjoying himself a little more. He's engaged. Football, he realizes, is one part of his life, not the only part of his life. And criticism on social media is meaningless because it really doesn't mean anything. And I think you gain wisdom after a tough time, and I think he's gained that.
Yeah, but I would say J.J. Watt's one of the most put-together off-the-field athletes I've ever seen.
Like, also one of the more critiqued athletes on social media.
Right, but I feel like it's so interesting that he struggled to do it, but I feel like J.J. Watt's like the top of the heap as far as, like, he's like, you're right, he's got a work-life balance, he recently got engaged. Like, I feel like a lot of 23-year-old athletes are probably struggling.
What do you think their stress is based on, or their uncomfortableness is based on?
I just think your expectations get so high when you get that level. There's a lot of pressure with that $100 million contract. Like, do another football player. I bet you Baker Mayfield faces a lot of stress to deliver on all the promise that is now around him. I'll bet you that on time.
Everything's going well now.
Yeah, I mean, Baker Mayfield seems like a fairly level guy.
Ask Cam Newton when you blow a playoff game what it's like.
Exactly. I think it's really hard. That being said, I like feeling sorry for them sounds ridiculous.
Well, you don't feel sorry for them because of the money, the adulation, the fame, and everyone listening is like, well, yeah, of course, dummy. But no other job, not too many other jobs, do you get done with your day of work and walk into a room and a bunch of people question you about it. So imagine every single day at even our job, we work in the media.
Yeah.
We take some heat on social media, not a lot. You get it more than I do. But let's say you worked in any type of job and you, at the end of your day, you walked down the hall right after your day and you walked in a room and 20 people were asking you questions, dissecting what you did, why you did it.
Yeah.
I don't think you could ever get comfortable with that. The media coverage. And I think the media stresses out athletes.
Yeah. And social media obviously adds to that, because 30 years ago, they weren't talking about NBA players being athletes.
You can't get away from it now.
Why does this feel to me like, I feel like the NBA player should be the happiest. A, they're the richest.
Yeah.
B, they're the most famous.
Less toll on their body as far
less
as
toll on their body, right.
They don't truly damaging toll.
They don't have the concussion risk.
Right.
They're brand moguls. They get their own entertainment deals. They're like Steph Curry's with Sony, LeBron's with somebody, that everybody's got their own. So the superstars should be the happiest. NFL guys and NHL guys seem really happy.
Baseball players, they got, you know, they go to the park every day.
Well, I was talking about baseball. A lot of baseball players aren't from America, and that gives them a different expectation too. You know, a huge chunk of baseball players are from overseas.
Okay.
So they have a different expectation altogether, you know, like, and that somebody brought up that European players in the NBA seem pretty happy. You don't hear a lot of like glum European players. So I don't know. I honestly feel it's a matter of expectations to some degree.
I also wonder, with the upper echelon of stars in the NBA, if there's pressure to keep up with the other stars, fashion, social media, getting a production company.
Like, yeah.
Hey, LeBron's got a production company. I got to get mine. LeBron's got a show. I got to get mine. Kevin Durant's got a new show. Why don't I have a show?
Yeah.
Call my agent. Why don't I have a show? Well, no one's calling you for a show. I don't have a show. That means I'm not in that upper echelon.
I think the poster boy is KD. He's like, why would KD have any worries in his life? Except we see the slice of his life on social media where he seems sensitive. And like, we assume like he should be on top of the world, but yet he doesn't seem like he is.
Maybe, and we exacerbate it too.
Yeah, we make it worse. Yeah, we pick apart either 1% of discomfort Kevin Durant feels like. We like blow that. We're doing it right now. We blow that up into a big thing and make him seem unhappy when he's really okay.
All right, so we're listening to Leisureman on NBC Sports, Pabst and Perloff. The other question, and as Leisureman, we talk about our lives and the leisure life. You asked, am I happy?
Right, in the same kind of question.
Work-related or all related?
Like, is it... I don't know. Like,
okay, so
in the context of Adam Silver saying my NBA players are unhappy, would you say, I'm assuming you're going to say yes, by the way, I am happy.
Yeah, because I think also people wouldn't want to admit it. I would say this. You look at us. You and I are somewhat similar. We are two guys in our 40s.
Good looking.
Who, handsome as hell. Yeah. No, but if you look at the American ideal, we have a wife, two kids. Our kids have a safe, a proper home to grow up in. We live in neighborhoods where we can go home and walk the streets. We have some financial comfort, some.
Yeah, we have a roof over our head, and we know there's going to be one tomorrow. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we can't put our feet up and not work anymore. We're definitely not those two guys. Let's not kid each other. We're not in that financial stratosphere. But what would make two guys like us unhappy based off that prerequisite that we work in sports for a living. So the average guy, if we said we're unhappy, the average guy listening out there would say, what do you two guys have to be unhappy about?
Yeah, but that's not how it works.
It's not how it works because everyone has something. Okay, I'll go first. Sometimes what bothers me is what's next?
Yeah.
What am I doing next? What am I doing for the second half of my life? What's the challenge? What's the new thing I'm going to do besides just watching sports, coming home, cracking a beer, playing with my kids, hanging out with my wife? And all those are good things. I'm not uncomfortable with any of them. They're all great. They really are. No bullshit. What else is there? What's next? And you either at some point you may have to realize there is nothing next unless you make it happen, or be comfortable with the fact that this is how it happens as you get to the next stage of your life. You're focused on your kids. It's less about you, and you may not do the things. Your dreams may be harder to attain because of your age.
Well, here's the thing. And this applies to NBA too. The human brain is hardwired to look at the obstacles that are ahead of it. Okay. That's how we survived to get to this point in the
season. We want obstacles?
No. Your brain, if things are easy, your brain does not pay attention to the easy things. It only pays attention to the obstacles. And that's an animalistic survival skill. I heard this from Freakonomics, by the way.
Nice.
And that's what the NBA, like your brain
goes
to the obstacles.
So how does that work with guys like us?
What you just said, like, yeah, things are good now, but you have to find obstacles to focus on. Like, where am I lacking in this area? What can I do next? Like, that's human nature to look at next.
Once in a while, I'll be writing down every Sunday night, I write a list of things I want to get done this week, besides work and kids and wife and all that stuff. But like, if I have a project I'm working on, or I have to do something, banking or bills or whatever it may be. And once in a while, I have a real slow week.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have class to teach. I teach at Sacred Heart. Yeah. And I've got nothing separate from the Dan Patrick Show. And my week is very empty of stuff that I have to do. And while you think that would be attractive, laying around at 3 in the afternoon,
yeah,
it also feels like, what am I doing here? What's going on?
You're not good with free time.
No. How about you?
No. But I commute. So my life is dominated by my commute. I don't have free time.
So I should get a longer commute?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you'll like text me. Oh man, I got nothing to do right now. And I'll be like the BQE just looking at this truck in front of me that hasn't moved in 9 minutes.
So I've been thinking the other day, and I'm trying to wean myself off of having to have a project to do to keep something going on, a carrot in front of me. Yeah. And so the other day, I have a little cabin up in southern Vermont. You know of it. You've been there. And I was like, I want to build like a barn in the back. And I was thinking about it, and I'm looking at the cost of this barn. It's really not terrible. And the work that has to be done, I'm like, do I really need a barn in the back of my cabin? Do I need it? I don't need it. It's a perfectly nice cabin as is. It's a perfectly nice yard it is. Most people would love to have any type of cabin.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, I go, you know what? You don't need a barn, dude.
You don't
need to build this barn. You could have your friends over, and you have a house to go in. You have a garage if you want to hang inside, outside. You don't have to build a barn. So
but I've been in the car with you where you've pointed out barns from like 4 miles away. You're like, see that barn over there?
Yeah.
There's actually one house that I'm picturing that is right around the corner from your Vermont house, and that's an amazing barn.
That
must be it's sitting there taunting you,
it's
Paul.
It's mocking me.
First of all, the fact that you don't have a barn,
don't
God.
Do this. See, now I'm going to call my barn guy, but I'm trying to get into the position where just relax and enjoy what you got because
yeah,
it really
good luck.
Is. Yeah. See, you're not helping me though.
Have no chance.
But you should be saying, Paul, that's growth.
Because
faux growth?
Because how many years have we known each other? There's no growth. People like us don't grow.
Really? Nobody don't grow?
Do you know anyone in your life who grows? Not really.
You don't? You're a smart guy.
Yeah.
This is it?
Too late.
Is this it?
We're stuck. Hardwired. No. That's the term of the day.
Now I'm bummed out. Real quick, what's something like a project that you want or something you would like to do that you kind of got and you're like, I'd love to do this. And it could be travel. It could be work. It could be family. But something like, in the next 30 years, I want to check this one.
Wow.
You to say it audibly.
I don't know.
You don't talk. I announce all my stuff to you and you put up with all my stuff that I talk about.
Yeah, I mean,
you're
like,
less of that.
I used to hold on to writing like an award-winning screenplay or like a movie, but you know, a lot of the movies are written by 21-year-olds.
need like a 21-year-old ghostwriter. Like you're the writer, and you have some kid with floppy hair walk in a room.
Yeah, I mean, I still like when I watch the Oscars, I'm like, I should be Ben and Matt. I can't answer that. It's definitely not a barn.
But you said it. You actually said it though. That means it is what you wanted.
It came into
your mind. So even though you're trying to poo-poo it. It means, but see, you may be in better shape to write it now because of your life experience in sports.
But I don't know if that's how the brain works. Like, I don't know if experience matters as much as bravado. You're much braver when you're 24. That's the problem.
Right. So you think the world wants to hear this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's like more about a matter of confidence.
What I write is so important. When you're in your 20s, you think what you write is so important.
I know. When you get to be our age, you realize how little you actually knew.
Thanks for listening to the Leisure Room Podcast. Download, subscribe, tell your friends, and try to be happy.